Welcome to our final sermon in our sermon series entitled, Jesus' Greatest Stories. Today's sermon title, A Strong Foundation. Open your Bible to Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, and let's begin.
I missed you last week. Big thanks to Jake Berger for preaching and bringing a good message. Let's give him a round of applause. Thanks, man. I got back from Iowa this weekend serving with the National Guard, so just thank you, church, for always supporting me and being able to serve some soldiers. Although I'm getting a little bit tired of that rough life, you know? Home's a little bit too comfortable, but it's good to be back with you. I've got some big announcements for you before we get into the message. Number one, today is West Fest after service. Yeah! So we'll have a concert and some food. You can hang out. It's 8,000 degrees outside, but, you know, just remember, February is coming, all right? So just say that to yourself every time you're out there. So I hope you can stick around. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then the first week of August, we're doing something we've never done. We're going to do our Love Week. And so, yeah, the idea is that every day of that week, August 5th through 10th, groups of people from our church will go out into the community and serve. And so it'll just be one week where we just focus a lot of energy and effort to being a blessing to our community. The church is not a building. The church is you and me together serving God and serving people. So we want to get out there and get after it and serve and just outpour some love and show people how good Christ is. So you can sign up for that. We got different projects during different days of the week. So just, you know, sign up for one project. Bring your life group, bring your ministry team. If you absolutely can't do anything, you can still buy some clothing for kids to go back to school. That's going to be kind of one of the things we're doing. I think we have like 13 kids left that still need some. So sign up at the Connection Center. You can also get this t-shirt. Yeah, you should be way more excited about it. This is made by the best t-shirt company in Cleveland, We Bleed Ohio. So much better than GVR. What? Anyway, but these shirts, we'll be selling them to only $5. I'll spot you $5 with interest if you don't have it today. No, I'm just kidding. But you can check those out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, finally, I got a huge announcement to share with you. And here's what the announcement is remember I told you several weeks ago that we were looking and praying for a new facility to transition to as a church. We said kind of, we know where we're at right now, and we know where we want to end up. We want to end up on that land. We want to build a new facility over there on Archer Road, and we've been working on that and trying to, you know, continue to get there, but we know that's going to take 4 or 5 years. And so we said between where we're at now and where we want to go, there requires a million steps in between, right? And we said that one of the things that we feel is really important as a church is to in this intermediate time from where we're at now to where we want to go on that new land, we want to find a facility that we can continue to grow in a healthy way for the next 4 or 5 years. And so I asked you to pray about that and to look into to think about that. And some of you gave me suggestions and ideas. And we began to think and look and pray. And one of the realities that I know about this facility, and many of you know, is that for too long, it's really dictated how we do ministry. This ministry has dictated how we do ministry. If you served here, you know that's true. That how we do our kids' ministry is limited by the fact that we have 2 kids' rooms. Not good. That's not how we want to do it. The size that we can grow to is limited by the amount of parking that we have and the size of our auditorium. The reality that we don't really have any community space for us to hang out and to talk about. All there's been, and I could go on, I could preach a sermon on the limitations here. But I don't think you want that this morning. But we know that the tail has constantly wagged the dog while we've been here. And that's not how it's supposed to go. And granted, don't get me wrong, I'm grateful for the start. I'm grateful. But we can't stay here and grow and become the church that we need to be. And this facility can't continue to be a very persuasive voice in our church's future. You with me on this? And so what we've said is we need a facility that we can grow into. We need one that can allow us to do ministry in the way that we want, the way that we feel God has called us. We want a church that for the next 4 or 5 years, we can reach 100 more people or more every single year and have space for them and do it in a good and healthy way. And so as we prayed about this, we looked in Elyria, we looked in North Ridgeville, because those are kind of the two communities that our land will ultimately sit between. And God, I believe, has answered our prayer. And we have found this facility. It's North Ridgeville Early Childhood Development Learning Center for kids who can't. It's got a really long name, and I can never get it right. But it's a really beautiful facility, and we'll triple our classroom space for our kids, the number of classrooms, the size of the classrooms, and the quality of them. We'll have enough adult space for easily 350 to maybe 450 adults at one service. It really can provide for us the future that we need. And just recently, as we were exploring this, the North Ridgeville School Board approved that we could use this. They haven't had this before, a church rent out their facility, and they approved it. And when we were talking with them initially, they were very apologetic about fees. And I was talking to our lead pastor about this, and I said, "Doc, I don't think they're going to charge us much." And he laughed. He's like, "Yeah, you're dreaming, buddy. That's what you want." I'm like, "I don't know, maybe I misread that conversation, but they seemed like very cautious about this." And so when we had a follow-up conversation, they said, "We're not going to charge you a rental fee. We're just going to charge you to cover the cost of the custodians that have to be there." How amazing is that? Who does that, right? So I felt a sense of God's affirmation. What do you think? And so here's the plan, church. We still have some details to work out. I just want to keep you in the loop on everything. But God willing, if we can work all these details out, then we can transition into this space in the fall. That would be the plan. And I'll keep you in the loop on that. And now let me say one more thing about this, because for many of us, this is really, really exciting, because you know it, you know the challenges, you know where we need to go. But for some of us, this might be a little bit scary, might be uncomfortable, or you might be downright hostile to the idea. But let me just speak to you for one moment, because I think this is a spiritual thing too. Whenever God leads his people, he always leads us in ways that require courage and sacrifice. God never comes into your life and says, "Hey, I'm going to lead you. Go sit on the lazy boy and eat Cheetos, and you will find my will." I wish he did that. I really do. But it never happens that way. It's always God's leadership. It's always a confrontation of fear and a confrontation of comfort. If you remember when the children of Israel, God said, "I have this beautiful land for you, but you got to get out of Egypt. And you have to cross over the Jordan River. And you have to go and you got to fight for it. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be delivered to you on a silver platter. But don't mistake, I will be with you. I will fight for you. But you got to take those steps." And so whenever God calls us, he calls us to steps of courage, to steps of faith, to steps of sacrifice. He calls us to deny ourselves and to move forward trusting in him for the sake of the mission. Maybe for some of us, you're like, "Chet, the church, it's so close to me. Don't make this hard on me." But let me throw this out there for you. Maybe that small sacrifice means hundreds of more families knowing Christ because of where it goes. You think it's worth it? I think it is, right? But hey, this is where I'm comfortable. We've invested so much time. And yeah, we have. We've invested so much in this facility. And I'm grateful for that. And none of that's a waste, because that has gotten us to this point. And that allows us to take the next step. And so everything we've done has not been a waste. It has been preparation. It has been a foundation to get us there. And we would dishonor God to not keep taking a step forward. You with me on this, church? So here's what I'm asking for you. I'm asking you to just keep praying for this. I'm going to keep you in the loop on this, let you know as we nail some things down. And I want you to participate in this. I want you to go in this adventure with us as a church with faith and courage and boldness. And here's what I believe you and I will see. We will look back on this moment and we will see the hand of God so powerfully. And we will see it as a turning point in the church where God began to do even greater things. You with me on this, church? So there it is. So be praying for it. We'll keep you in the loop. And now let me say a prayer about all this. Father, thank you so much for the ways you've provided for our church, big ways and small ways. Thank you, Father, that when we didn't know where to go, you've opened up new opportunities for us. Thank you, Father, for the faith of your people in this room. Thank you, Lord, for their boldness, for their courage, for their willingness to say yes to you, even if it means saying no to themselves. Now, Father, I pray you would bless our journey forward. I pray you would go before us, you would fight us, and you would fight for us, and you would be our rear guard. And Father, I pray your will and your work could be accomplished through us, and the name of Christ could be glorified. Bless us now in this good work. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so next week I'm going to start a whole new sermon series on this, and we're going to talk a lot about it as a church family. But today we're going to wrap up our sermon series on the stories of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but did anyone grow up and your parents would tell you to watch who your friends were? Anybody kind of get something like that, you know? And then you would always be like, what do you know? And then you found out, yeah, they were right. But that's good advice, isn't it? Because, you know, what they know is that the people who are closest to us, that we allow to speak in our lives, they shape us. And they shape us powerfully. And that can be a good thing if it's a good influence. But that can be a really bad thing if it's the wrong person. And this isn't just a childhood thing. It's not just for young people. This is for people of any age, right? If you ever are in a work environment that's toxic, it's hard for that not to rub off on you because environments are powerful. The words of others that we have close proximity to are powerful, and they are constantly shaping us. Shakespeare wrote a great play about this called Othello. It also was made into a movie. Morpheus from The Matrix is in it. One person knows what I'm talking about. But Othello is a great story. And the basic storyline is that this man named Othello, he's a Venetian commander. Everything's going right in his life. He's married the woman of his dreams. But then he ends up passing over this man named Iago who gets really upset about it. So upset that he decides he's going to ruin Othello's life. But he's sneaky. And so what he does is he begins to conspire against him to make it look like Othello's wife is cheating on him. And so he pours into him all the time, seeds of doubt and lies, and says, oh man, did you see how they talk to each other? That's not right. I think something's going on. I don't know if you can trust her. And on and on, and Othello just allows these words to come into him and to start to paint the picture of reality around him. And eventually it builds and it builds and he begins to believe it, begins to see everything in this warped view, and he ends up killing his wife. It doesn't end well. You know, Shakespeare likes those tragic endings. But the principle of that is to be careful about who we let speak into our lives, because they will shape us for better or for worse. And I think we can all agree that all of us, to some level or another, we are building our lives on the words of others. We all had childhood influences, our parents, our guardians, our teachers, our coaches, and they spoke words into our lives that have formed us. I've been trying to get my parents to watch The Office because I think it's the greatest TV show ever. And they've been reluctant to do it, church. Pray for them. But my mom said to me the other day, she said, I think, you know, she tried to watch a few episodes. She's like, I think I know why you like it. You remind me of Michael Scott. Yeah. And I said, you don't know how insulting those words are. If I wasn't in Christ, you could have just wounded me powerfully. You know, So I didn't build my life on that word there. But there are words that people speak. And some of us, we carry wounds from the words that people spoke to us. It was 20, 30 years ago, but they still stick with us. That's how powerful this reality is. Our culture, church, it speaks into our life all the time. And it says, build your life on these principles. Our culture is constantly saying to us, hey, you're not going to be happy with that iPhone 6. You need iPhone 7. The big one, you know, that you can hardly fit through your car door. Only then will you be happy, but that will only last till iPhone 27 comes out. Then you need that. Or culture says, oh, you'll only be, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you is you can age or gain weight. So here's this cream, here's this diet pill, and your life will be fulfilled if you can stay young and slim and beautiful. Nothing else matters. And our culture speaks these lies to us all the time, church, right? And if we're not careful, they'll become the foundation. And then there's all kind of influences around us, our friends and our bosses and our peers. Their words shape us. And for many of us, part of the challenge of this will be removing the wrong influences, the wrong words that have built and shaped us and molded our identity. And in place of that, what we're going to see today is that Jesus speaks to us and he says only his words are strong enough to serve as a foundation for our lives. Only his word can bear the weight of your identity. Only his teaching and his wisdom can be strong enough to endure the storms and the difficulties of life. And only his words can be that foundation that we actually need. And here's how Jesus talks about it. It's Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start at verse 24, and I'll read it to you. He says this, everyone who hears these words of mine, and say these two words with me, and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Does anyone smell what the rock is cooking this morning? I had to. It's been built on the rock. So it's hearing the words and doing them. Here's the second part. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. See the two different foundations? He will be like a foolish man. In the original language, it's the word moro. What's that sound like? Moron. That's right. Yeah. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a moron. Don't be a moron. Build your foundation on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus is painting for us a very simple but powerful reality. He's saying, build your life on my teaching. Not just hearing it, but doing it. And if you do that, you will build a life that has the foundation that you need. Because life is tough, isn't it? Life doesn't slow down for any of us. Life doesn't stop because we have a lot going on. It goes and it piles up and it wears us out. And without that foundation, it's really hard to make it through in a healthy way. And so he says, build it on my words. Now, I want to talk about three ways to kind of do this. Three aspects of this. We're going to talk about the exposure of the storm because I want you to understand some things about it. Then we're going to talk about the foundation. What are some of the things that Jesus says that we need to build our lives on? And then lastly, we're going to talk about the issue, the tension point of all this. So we're going to talk the exposure, the foundation, and the issue. Let's talk about the exposure first. Without the storm, both houses look similar and viable. Because you can't usually see the foundation of a house, right? It's covered with dirt. It's beneath the surface, typically. And these houses, they both look fine. They both look capable. And it's only the storm that really reveals the quality of it and the wisdom of the one house versus the foolishness of the other. And I bring that up because there are times in our life where we question, is it worth it to follow Christ? Because let's be honest, many times following Christ wholeheartedly, if you're trying to do that at work, if you're sometimes trying to do it in your family, it's an inconvenience. It's easier not to. I just spent a week with some soldiers, and I know some of the soldiers, they want to have a strong faith in that environment, and I can see it would many times be easier for them not to, because they're going to get harassed a little bit. People are going to question why they're not acting certain ways and doing certain things, and there's a lot of pressure. And so sometimes it looks in life like, why am I doing this? Because it doesn't seem to be benefiting me any more than these other persons. And Jesus says, yeah, you're right. Without the storm, it doesn't look that much better. But you're still making the wise choice, because when the storm comes, it will expose the quality of our foundation. And sometimes when we feel like this doesn't make sense to follow Christ, or I can't see how this is helpful, I want to remind you, you are choosing the wise path. And stay on it. The wisdom of it will become evident in time. If God asks you to do something, but you don't understand the full ramifications, here's what I've learned. Do it and trust him. And the wisdom of it will prove itself in time. And Jesus says, when the storm comes, then we find out who we really are. We find out what we're really made of. And we find out if it can really bear the weight and the pain of life. And really, I think that's much of what life is about, isn't it? It's not so much what you can accomplish, but it's about what you can overcome. That's the real test in life, is how much pain and discouragement can you take, and yet you still move forward. When everything's easy, there's no test in that. That doesn't require anything. But when things get hard and you keep moving forward, when things get painful and you keep doing the right thing, when the right thing is costly and you choose it anyways, that shows there is something powerful at the core of your life. You with me on this, church? And I would say one of God's best gifts to us can be a storm. I'm not saying you'll like that gift. You might want to return it. But it might be exactly the thing that we need. Because what do storms do? They destroy inferior foundations. And sometimes in life, if we're not careful, we will build our life on the wrong foundation. We'll build our life on a relationship. We'll build our life on our career. We'll build our life on people's approval. We'll build our life on all these other things that cannot bear the weight of who we are. And sometimes God's greatest blessing is allowing a storm to come into our life that destroys that foundation. So God can pull up in a bulldozer and say, son, it's time to get this foundation right. We're starting over. We're redigging this all out. We're gonna get all this good bedrock here and make it I don't know anything about construction, but you get the idea. We're going to build something that can last here. And sometimes that's God's gift to us. So that's the exposure of it. Now let's talk a little bit about this foundation. So what do we build it on? I just want to just rehearse some of the great themes of Jesus' teaching, because he says, whoever hears my words and does them will be like the wise man. And every week we looked at a different story. Some of these themes are going to sound familiar. Some of them we haven't touched on in this series, but let me just remind you of some of them. What does Jesus talk about all the time? He talks about forgiveness. He says, you and me are broken people. We're messed up. We're not acceptable to God as we are. But here's the good news. There's forgiveness through Christ. And all we do is we receive it as a gift. And Christ would say again and again, I've come to forgive you. I've come to call you out of darkness and to a better place. And Jesus says, not only that, because I've forgiven you, now you have an obligation, you have a debt to forgive the people who hurt you, just like God forgave you when you wronged him. That's something to build our lives on, church. The forgiveness of God and forgiveness for others. Jesus talks about all the time about the power and effectiveness of prayer. He says, don't pray just weak, lame, anemic prayers. But pray as if God really hears. As if God will really move and God can really do something in your life. And if you pray boldly and with faith, you will see God in a whole new way act in your life. He said prayer is just a constant thing we can go to. He talks all the time about the need for repentance and removing just sinful practices from our lives. Church, there's habits in our lives that are ungodly, that dishonor God. And we flirt with those habits. We flirt with those behaviors. We flirt with those mindsets. And what Jesus says is if you play games with those, they'll always end up getting the better of you. Temptation is always a raw deal. You think it's going to satisfy you, it makes you more empty. You think it's going to make your life better, it makes it more complicated. And so Christ says, those things that pull you away from God, don't play games with them, don't play nice with them, remove them from your life. And practice a life of just constantly coming back to God and saying, I'm sorry, I need help. Would you meet me in my time of need? Jesus talked all the time about the uselessness of anxiety. We live in an anxious world, don't we? I mean, anxiety, it's become like almost a badge of being human in our world. And I know I contribute to this problem just as much as anyone else. But here's what Jesus says about it. He says, hey, did you know you can't add 1 hour to your life by being anxious? Did you know that? You can't add 1 hour. In other words, he says, it doesn't do anything for you. He said, you can't change the color of one piece of hair on your head through anxiety. Can't change the color. Can't get that highlight you want by a bunch of anxiety. I think there's also the implication that you can't grow more hair through anxiety. Because I've been trying to do that. And I think it's actually the opposite thing has happened here. Been trying to thicken it up a little bit, not working. It's useless, but instead of putting all our energy in anxiety, he says we have a Father that cares for us, that we can pray to, that we can trust in, that we can learn and grow from. He said, talks about the importance of authentic spirituality instead of a religious facade. He says, look, God doesn't want your show. He doesn't care if you fool and impress everyone. He doesn't care about how much religious activity you do. He cares about your heart. And he wants the real you, not the image that we project to other people. And so Christ is always calling people to just say, hey, put the facade down and pick up a real life with God. And then lastly, and maybe most importantly, one of the major themes of Jesus' teaching is that he himself is our Lord, our Savior, our light, and our salvation. At the end of the day, I believe the only hope for any of us is the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. But here's the thing, that is a great hope. It doesn't matter how messed up you are. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The name of Christ is more than enough for you and for that. Every single time it will be. And Christ says, hey, I want you to trust in me and invite me into your life through the good and the bad. And so these are some of the things that Christ is saying. Build your life on these principles. Build your life on these realities. Build your life on these ideas. Now let's talk about the issue in all this, because I think there's a couple issues in all this. Remember what Jesus says, you have to hear my words and do them to be the wise person. So what's the issue? The first issue is if I'm going to hear Jesus' words, I need constant exposure to his words. I need opportunity for Christ to speak into my life so I know what he's saying and what he's asking out of me. And I believe that we could say this morning that all of Scripture are ultimately the words of Jesus. That anytime you open the Scripture and you begin to read it, you are engaging with the words of Jesus to build your life on. And getting a little Scripture once a week is not enough to do this. And I know some of you are like, oh man, here he goes again. He's going to talk about reading the Bible and how we need to do that. You're absolutely right. That's exactly where I'm going. And we absolutely need it, church. We're not in the fight without it. You and I, we need daily exposure to the words of Jesus. Even if it's just a little bit every day, we need daily exposure if we're going to build our lives on that foundation, because there are way too many other influences and words and voices that are fighting for your attention and fighting for your heart. And you're not in the fight. And I'm not in the fight if not I'm not exposing myself to it every single day. And I know you're like, well, Chad, I just don't have a whole lot of time. Make time for it. Right? Christ says, do you want to live the wise life or the foolish life? A little sacrifice of time is completely worth it.
Well, Pastor, I don't like reading.
Listen to it. Learn to like reading. I don't care. Watch the Gospel of John on Netflix. Get it into your soul somehow, right? We're just full of excuses. You'll scroll through Facebook all day long. I know there's some pictures on there, but there's a lot of reading too. And we seem to do okay at that, right?
Pastor, I just can't understand the Bible.
Well, did you give any effort to it? And by the way, that's what you sound like when I hear those excuses. That's all I hear. That's all I hear. Your voice just... I find that when we say that, it means we've not put any effort to it. Yeah, are there things that are hard in the Bible? For sure, no doubt. But that's like the 5%. Most of the Bible, if you sit down and you just put a little bit of effort in, you can probably understand most of it with fairly little context. And even the stuff you don't understand, it still will be good for you. It's like breakfast. I don't always remember what I ate for breakfast, but it still does my body good, right? You won't always maybe remember or retain everything, but it's still doing something good for your soul. And church, if we're going to build our lives on the words of Jesus need to become part of our lives. They need to become part of how we understand and see the world, about how we weigh decisions, and how we understand what's happening around us. So we need to expose ourselves to it. But here's the second thing, because remember what Jesus said, both people heard the words of Jesus. And he didn't say, whoever hears these words of mine and talks about them at Bible study will be like a man who builds it on the rock. He didn't say that. He didn't say, whoever hears these words of mine and memorizes them will be like that person. Whoever hears these words of mine and is able to articulate them and summarize them will be like the man. No, what did he say? Whoever hears these words of mine and does them. See the difference? Does them. Action. So Jesus is saying, look, you can know it, you can be exposed to it, but what are you taking action on? Because only when you take action on it will it actually transform your life, will it actually create a foundation that can bear the weight of the storms of this world. And so I want to challenge you this morning. These last 6 weeks, we've talked about different teachings of Jesus, different ideas, different principles. And I'm sure that there was some idea, there was some issue that resonated with you. Something that maybe God challenged you on, God pushed you on. And I want to just remind you today, are you taking action on it? What are you doing because of it? How are you applying? Because till we apply it, we still are not like that wise man. You with me on this, church? And one last thing about this. For some of us, today might be the day that we need to really invite Christ into our lives. Because before I can build my life on the words of Jesus, I need the presence and the power of Jesus in my life. And here's what it looks like. It means that in this foundation that God is going to build in me, I need Christ as the cornerstone. I need Christ as that part of the building where it all rests on. I need his presence and his forgiveness and his love and his leadership in that incredibly important spot. And so today, if you've never committed your life to Christ, I want to lead you through a prayer to do it. I want you to make today the day where you just finally, you surrender, you commit. Maybe you've kind of been, you've been right up to the line where you're like, man, my heart's open to God, but you've never just crossed that line of decision. And today, I want to help you do that. And so would everyone just stand with me and would you bow your heads as we pray? And if you've never made this commitment, then I want you just to pray this in your heart as I pray it out loud. If you're in a spot of your life where you just want to recommit to Christ, you've committed to him, but man, you feel like you've lost your way a little bit, you feel like things have gotten confusing and difficult, and you want to recommit, then you pray also with us. But pray this in your heart as I pray out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I am lost and sinful without you. I acknowledge that by myself there's no hope, and the things I've done and the things I've thought have kept me away from you and kept me away from your forgiveness and love. But Father, I also acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He died for a lot of other people's, but he went to the cross for me. And the punishment that I deserve, he took on himself. And God, I believe that he rose on the third day. And when he rose, his victory means that there's forgiveness for me. His victory means that I can be in your presence and I can experience your love and I can live in your grace. And so, Father, I just want to claim that work. I want to look at it and trust in it and grab hold of it by faith. And I also want to commit to following your leadership the best I can. As you speak to me, I will follow. As I hear your voice, I will adjust my course. And I will try to live in a way that pleases and honors you because you are my Lord. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of today. And I ask all this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.